Sheldon, there's something else I've been wanting to say, but before I do, I want you to know that you don't have to say it back. I know you're not ready, and I don't want you to say it just because social convention dictates
that you... I love you too.
You said it.
There's no denying I have feelings for you that can't be explained in any other way. I briefly considered that I had a brain parasite. But that seems even more far-fetched. The only conclusion was love. I know what's happening. This is a panic attack. Soccer Mom 09 says to lie down with your feet elevated.
Okay.
Whoa. Just because I love you doesn't mean girls are allowed in my room.
All right, you guys. Well, how many guys like Big Bang Theory? Anybody? All right. Well, there's a few of you. I wanted to do The Office and do Jim and Pam, but that one just works way better. Well, hey, good to see you guys. We are going to be talking about love tonight, and it's going to be fun. And I love that scene because it paints such a perfect picture of the height that we place this whole I love you moment, right? Like in a relationship, when you say I love you, like it's such a huge deal. And you can even see it like with the laugh track or the audience clapping track, you know, that's out on the screen. And then she's having a panic attack because he actually said it. He said, I love you. And so there's this kind of weird, weight that goes to this phrase of I love you. And so it's a big deal. And I remember specifically when I told my wife it, you know, and I remember, you know, she tells me the story back. But the question is, when you tell somebody that in a romantic relationship, what does that mean? Does that mean that you didn't love them before, but now I do? I didn't love you before, but now I do? Or, you know, are you not allowed to say I love you unless you are romantically interested in someone? You know, can you say I love you to someone of the opposite sex and if you're not romantically interested? I mean, you have group texts, and like if you have a group text, you could be like, oh, love y'all, you're the best. Happy face, wink face, you know, no kiss face. But you could be excited about that, right? Or if it's like your bro, you're like, I love you, bro. You're the man. Or if you like your girl's like, oh, girl, I love you. You're the best, right? And so you have these different interactions. But you cannot say I love you to an individual of the opposite sex because then it just gets weird, right? That's a little weird. I mean, maybe some of you guys have that relationship with some of your really close friends, but for the majority, that's a weird kind of situation to be in. So how do we figure out really what love is? And with all the messages that we receive from culture and from entertainment and from our family of origin, to decipher really the true meaning, the true definition of love is very, very difficult that we live in. And we have this whole, you know, when we see media and we see movies, we have this whole, you know, lustful sexualization of romance that leaves us with feelings of great fear or anxiety, or we're being led by these impulses that we have in as we step into any relationship. And so love gets somewhere lost in the midst of all of that. And so, as I said, love is in the air, because today we're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about what it is and helping us understand a biblical understanding of love as we go into God's word. And we're going to see how that gets worked out in the context of singleness, dating, and marriage. So how many of you guys here, just by raise of hands, how many of you guys would like a little bit more wisdom on love? Okay, everybody else, I guess, has it all figured out. Okay, find them if they have it figured out. Find them, talk to them. But I would like a little bit of wisdom on love. I definitely always am seeking to understand this. And I really do feel like God has been teaching me a lot about love in the last kind of, really, I would say, probably 3 or 4 months. I mean, as I'm just discovering love relationships with people in my church and even my wife, and he's been teaching me a lot about this. So it's been cool to kind of actually be able to present this in message form tonight. And so I want to tell you guys, as we go tonight, we're going to look at how you can understand love and how you can step confidently into a love relationship. And you can get that by understanding love's origin, love's variation, and love's action. Love's origin, love's variation, and love's action. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before we get started, let me pray, and we'll get going. Jesus, thank you so much for love, God. And we want to seek and discover what that means for us in our life, how that actually gets worked out with people around us, God, how that gets worked out with those that we're in a romantic relationship with, God. I pray that you would just teach us from your word tonight. Thank you for the young adults that are in this room, God. I pray your blessing would rest upon them. We lift these things up in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so we're going to start with something maybe is a little bit different, but we're going to actually start with a fun little exercise together as we look at what love is. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually turn around. You're going to look at a couple people of those around you, okay? Get in groups of, I don't care how big your group is. It could be, how about no larger than five, okay? Kind of get into a group no larger than five, kind of connect with somebody. And I want you guys to open up a Bible. If you guys have it on your device, you can do that. I also have Bibles here in the middle of the room. You guys can grab a couple of those. But I want you simply to open up to 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. So 1 John 4, 7 through 21, it's toward the end of the Bible. That's where you can find it. So 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And I want you guys to just simply read it and have a discussion about what we can learn about love from 1 John 4, 7 through 21. So what can we learn about love from those verses, okay? So everybody disperse. We're going to take I'm going to give it 7 minutes to do this, okay? So kind of like 7 minutes to kind of get together with a couple people around you and have a discussion about what we can learn about love from 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21, okay? Go for it. What's that?
I'm actually new.
Okay.
So
thank you. Let's wrap it up here, guys. Finish up your conversation. You guys can turn back this way, or you guys can look at each other. I don't really care how you guys sit. Hey, good chance, you guys. Hopefully, you guys got to know a little bit more of the people around you. We are going to just have some fun here and just talk about what we can learn about love, because from 1 John 4:7-21, there's a lot in there. It's definitely the most, the passage with the most condensed amount of the word love kind of packed into it. So there's a lot there. So let's just kind of throw it out there. Tell me, what can we learn about love from 1 John 4:7-21? Just shout it out and I will write it down. God is love. Hey, there we go. God is love. Okay. What else?
There's no fear in love.
No fear. Okay. What else?
Love comes from God.
Love comes from God. Guys, there's it's super easy. We're going to make it out. Okay. Love comes from God. Just read the verse and you can just shout out what it says. Love comes from God. Yep. What else? Loving others makes us complete. Okay. Us complete. What else? Those who hate what? What's that?
Those who hate their brother cannot love God.
Okay. Okay. Those who hate. Okay. What else?
Love drives out fear.
Yep. This board's too tall. I gotta go over there. All right. You did, yeah. So no fear in love drives out fear. Good. Anything else? Anyone who loves God, shout it out louder. Okay. Okay. Anything else? Things that we learned about God.
God loves us.
Okay. That's a good one. Anything else? Okay. Live in love equals. More?
Love makes us confident.
Love makes us confident, okay. Anything else?
We love because he first loved us. Okay.
Should have had a taller whiteboard. Sorry, that was one more time. We love because he first loved us, okay? It's hard to write on a low whiteboard when you have a bad back. Anything else? Okay, that's a good start. So we haven't even really gotten into the message yet. All we've done is we've opened up God's word. Right? And we've asked a question. We've opened up God's word and we said, okay, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No. What is love? And you discover it. And as you dive in, especially when you dive in the context of community, you can actually be so surprised by what you simply can learn by opening up God's word and asking a question and then presenting it to the Lord and kind of going through it and looking at that. Because right now we found out just from These few verses, that God is love, that there's no fear in love, that love comes from God, that loving others makes us complete, that love, those who hate others can't love, that it drives out fear, that we love because he first loved us, that anyone who loves God must also love his brothers and sisters. God loves us, that we live in, and when we live in love, we live in God, and that love makes us confident. So we already are in a better state after spending 10 minutes, I guess, after writing it down, 10 minutes, we're in a better state and understanding love than probably a whole chunk of the world, because we're going to God's word and we're asking the question, what is love? And so we're already here in the deep end. Now let's get a little bit more into the nuances of love. As I said, we're going to be looking at love's origin, we're going to be looking at love's variation, and we're going to be looking at love's action, okay? Love's origin. We need to start with the most essential question. This is where we kind of start with anything that we're exploring here, is where did it come from? Where did it come from, and is it good? So I love coffee, and if you bring me a cup of coffee, I will be thankful nonetheless, like whatever. But one of the first questions I'm going to ask you is where did it come from, and is it good? Because I love coffee. Now, if I don't know you very well, that might be a little bit rude. But I want to know, and I'm going to drink it anyways. I'm going to be thankful. I'm so thankful you brought me coffee. But I do like good coffee, so I kind of want to know where it's from. We needed to take this kind of same approach with love. Where did it come from, and is it good? And so when we do that, we need to kind of, again, we're going to go into the scriptures. Last week, I talked to you guys about Adam and Eve and love relationship. Is this annoying? Is it continuing to cut out? Should I take this off? No, you guys are good? All right, I'll keep talking. I talked about the love relationship between Adam and Eve, but love was actually there before that. Love existed before Adam and Eve. So let's combine what we know from Scripture. We just looked at 1 John 4, and the first two verses of 7 and 8, first verse and 7 says that love comes from God. Well, right away, that's an origin statement. And it also says that 1 John 4, 8, it says that God is love. First one that Ashton said, right? That God is love. So with that understanding and with that knowledge, let's go to page one of the Bible in the very beginning and say, let's find out when love comes onto the scene. So if we go to page one of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, and it says, in the beginning, God. Love's already there. We don't even need to go any further than the fourth word in the Bible. Because if we know that God is love, and we want to know where it came from, it says that in the beginning, God was the beginning. God was the Alpha. And if God is love, then love exists in the very beginning. So despite whatever what love, note my very emphasized air quotes, right? Despite how love has maybe made you feel in the past, what love has done to your heart, those ways that it's kind of pained you, love can exist in a world without wickedness, without sin, without anxiety, without betrayal. Love is good. Love existed before sin even entered the world. So love is good, and it can exist outside of those things, despite maybe what you felt about it. Any love that makes you feel scared, insecure, less than, or pressured is not love at all, but it's rather a distortion of love. That makes sense? So it's like this idea. So most of us, almost all of us drive here, right? If I went out to your car, right? And you're getting ready to drive, and I take mud and I just smear it all over your windshield and you try to drive, what's going to be the problem? You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to. What do you need to do to drive? You need to see, and you're not going to be able to see. Now, is it the windshield's fault that she can't see? Is the windshield broken? No, the windshield's not broken, and it's not the windshield's fault that she can't see. It's been smeared. Something has come and distorted the function of the windshield. So if you apply that into the sense of love, what we've seen is God has created love, and it's been a beautiful and amazing thing. And what the enemy, Satan, has come as he's distorted that, what culture he's used culture to do, and what he's used social media to do, and what he's used entertainment to do, is he's smearing all those different things. But you can't blame love in its pure form as the thing that's causing you to be so confused. All right, so we need to kind of get to that simple origin, that statement of love, understanding that love comes from God and that love is good. Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. These are the things that actually will come about in your life when you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus alive and living in your life. And it says the fruits of the Spirit is, and what's the first one? Love. It's the very first word that is the fruit of the Spirit. When Jesus is alive in you, when God's living through you, you will have love first and foremost. You have that in that. And so, and that's another thing. As I was doing research, it's amazing how many times that I saw the Holy Spirit and love in the same verse. It was actually pretty interesting. There's so many passages in the Bible that talk about how the Holy Spirit relates to love. And it makes sense because, if God is love and the Holy Spirit is God and the Holy Spirit is inside of us, filling us up, then love, pure love, is from God. It says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It says in Colossians 1:4, it says that we love in the Spirit. It says in John 17:26, so that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. He's talking about how when we have the Holy Spirit alive within us, it is bringing about love. That's where the origin is. It's the Holy Spirit alive within us. And one more verse I want to look at as we talk about the origin of love is I want to look at Ephesians 3:17-19. And this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And he says, there it is, 3:17-19. Says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want you to hear that last statement. It says that you have this knowledge of love so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I love how an understanding of Christ's love for us actually brings us to experience the fullness of God. That when we can truly understand God's love for us, that we have the fullness of God alive within us, the fullness of that love living and breathing inside of us. So the simple statement of where love comes from and is it good? Love comes from God, and it is truly good because God is good. Now I want to talk to you guys about love's variation. Now that we know that love comes from God, we need to know that there are different types of love. We kind of referenced this a little bit in the beginning, that there's romantic love, there's brotherly love, there's a variety of these different loves. So we want to look at the different variation of love. And we're going to look at the three types that we see in the Bible, plus one more. Okay, so we're going to look at four types. So the three types that we see in the Bible, plus one more. The first type of love that we see in the Bible, and it is far more prevalent than any other love that we see in the Bible, is in the Greek, it's agape love. Most of you guys, I would say, probably have heard of agape love. And it's what he uses to define himself, as we read in 1 John 4. He says that God is love. This word right here, this love, is agape love. And let me explain what that is. Biblical agape love is a love of choice. It's love of serving with humility, the highest kind of love, the noblest kind of devotion, the love that of the will, intentional and a conscious choice. And not motivated by superficial appearance, emotional attraction, or sentimental relationship. Agape love is not based on pleasant emotions or good feelings that might result from a physical attraction for or familiar bond. Agape love chooses as an act of self-sacrifice to serve the recipient. So in a nutshell, that was a big, heavy conversation, heavy definition. What agape love is agape love is not based on really how you feel. It's not based on physical attraction. It's not based on, you know, pleasant feelings from someone else. It's not based on sentiment. And it's based on choice. It's a decisive love. It's of our will. We actually, by our own choice of self-sacrifice, are going to be loving someone else. It's a deep, deep love that actually can't be shaken by our emotions because it's already possessed. The agape love of God that we have, that God loves us, that agape love for him, for us, is not shakable. If you screw up or if you, run away or if you, whatever you do, you can't shake that love. It's not like he's going to love you less in that moment because he's already decided that love. It's already been his choice to show his love for you, to self-sacrifice, even by displaying it by his son's death on a cross, by giving of his own son for you. That was his love for you. So that's the deepest form of love, and we see it the most in the Bible. Now, another form of love that we could see is phileo love. That's the Greek. It's really to be a friend to one another. The definition here says to be fond of, have a liking for, an individual or object to show affection for. In some contexts, it means to kiss another as a mark of tenderness for that person. Phileo denotes personal attachment and is more a matter of sentiment or feeling. It's a devotion based in the emotions distinguished from agape love, which represents devotion based in the will. So it's a response of of your own spirit, your own feelings, for what you find to be enjoyable or pleasurable. So it is more the classic type of, it could be friendship, it could be even romantic, even in itself, in its definition. But it's really that I'm affectionate towards you, that I actually have a great joy with being around. I've built that friendship and I just love being around you. I don't need to decide it because I'm already feeling it. I'm feeling that kind of friendship. I have dear friends here in the room. I have dear friends on staff. My brother Jake is here, or he was here. I don't know where he is now, but Jake is here. I have a phileo love with Jake. He's a good dear friend of mine and I really enjoy being around him. That's that love that we experience. Now, we do see this in the Bible as well. And we could see it really in one of the best verses is John 5:20. It says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed." I love that picture that God the Father loves the Son, that is Jesus, with a affection. It's not, you don't have to force me to love him. I just have deep, deep love. And it shows that when he says the Father loves his Son and shows him all he does, when you're affectionate with someone, a dear friendship with someone, you are more vulnerable with them. You're more open with them. You share life's pains. You share life's challenges. You share, what questions you have in your life. You're opening yourself up and you're actually having a much greater and deeper understanding of that person because of the ways that you're kind of letting, opening up your heart to these other people. And it happens so much, not only in scripture, but it happens within us in this world. You have dear friends. You have people that you love and people that you, that is that awesome phileo love. And so the key difference that we have to see there is that agape love is volitional and a phileo love is volitional. Choice and phileo love is of emotion. Now, a third type of love, you guys still hanging with me? We've got two more and then we got a fun little thing that I'm gonna show you guys. So then we have something called storge love. Storge love is technically not in the Bible, but the negative form of it is. Astorge is in the Bible, and which really means to be unloving. And we could see that in Romans 12:10. It says, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourself. Storge love is, it's also affection, but it's also a natural affection that comes from family members that you share with fellow family members, brothers or sisters, brothers and fathers. And I know that some of us don't have great examples of that, but it's a distortion of that love. In a family, there should be a natural love that we have for one another that's deeply rooted, that we're kind of just even born with. That we're born into this love because of the fact that, you know, whether our fathers and mothers raised us or gave birth to us, or we have this kind of blood bond together with our family members, those that are really, really close, which is interesting because when it uses this in the Bible, it's so often not talking about mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters by blood. So many times, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, Christ, that we actually have a family bond that's just a natural bond with other believers all around the world. It's a really cool aspect, and there's great warning against not having that for someone. This is where it says, those who hate others can't love, right? Can't love God. Or anyone who loves God must also love our brothers and sisters. We should naturally have that when we have the love of God. And when we don't, then we need to ask ourselves these questions. Can I love God if I can't love others, if I don't have this natural love from brothers and sisters, which is a big topic right now as we talk about the divisions that are within churches and the way that we kind of go against each other. It's this astorge, the absence of this familiar love. And then finally, this love is not in the Bible, but it's a love that we can be familiar with. And there's eros love, coming from where we get the word erotic. This is seeking pleasure and seeking your sexual desire, physical longing towards someone else, to someone of the opposite sex. So you have this longing, we have this longing, right? For sexual desire, seeking pleasure, physical longing. And it's not only in a fully consummated situation. This could be, you know, kissing. This could be making out. This could be whatever it is. It could be in the sense of you have that desire that's for someone else. And just because we use this word of sexual desire, or we use sex or sexuality, that doesn't make it wrong. Eros love is in itself not wrong. Because God did make sex and did make our sexuality. And when done appropriately, it could be a good thing. And so it's a great complement to love. And we could see, even though, again, it's not in the Bible, we could see so much of the themes of eros love within even the book, the Bible called Song of Solomon, as we talk about this deep love relationship that is being painted in a lot of kind of the sexual desire and arousal that actually happens in the Song of Solomon. So we have this eros love as well. All right, so there we covered the different variations of love. We have agape love, which is volitional, love by choice. We have phileo love, which is more kind of my affection and my emotion, how I feel close towards one another. Then you have storge love, which is the familiar bond between brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, whether that's actual family or the family of Christ. And then we have eros love, which is kind of this seeking pleasure and kind of sexual desire that we have. Now, let's take all of this information that we have, right, about love, origin and love's variation. And now let's start applying it into a relationship. When we're in a romantic relationship, how does this all work itself out? Now, I've been actually, this was something that I remember, I'm going to talking to a student years ago, probably was 13 years ago. I was talking to a student and I was trying, this guy moved a little bit too fast with his girlfriend and he was having trouble and he didn't know what to do and we feel distant and he's, what do I do? And I started actually to share kind of like what went awry and how to kind of help him counsel him. I use this illustration that I've come back to a lot of times because it seems to resonate with a lot of people. So I want to share with you guys and talk to you guys about balance in a relationship. So we have these different components. Let's see if that actually can flip here. So we have these different components of every relationship, right? We have a spiritual, an emotional, and a physical side of every relationship as we grow in our romantic relationship. And all those things should be growing in balance. As we kind of step into a relationship, it's on both sides of the equation. You guys should work together and make a commitment to be growing in each of these areas in balance. Because when you begin to actually grow out of balance, that's when things get a little bit weird. That's when things get a little bit tricky and you have to actually kind of re-navigate some different things. So, you know, and you need to be intentional about that. Where's my other colors? I left my colors over here. So we have, as you kind of start a relationship, right, you kind of start in this place, and maybe you already have a little bit of emotional bond or you have a little bit of a spiritual bond as well because they're your friends, which is great. So there's some times where you can actually step into the relationship kind of already with these things a little bit full in the tank, right? You've already done that, and that's always a great place because, like clockwork, this one will always want to move faster than these ones. It's our natural desire. This is the Eros love. Now, right? So we begin this relationship, and you need to be developing times that you can actually be talking about spiritual matters and talking about how God's working in your life and talk about, you know, what did God teach you from the message that you heard last night? Praying together. You need to be emotionally invested in finding out kind of about their family, finding about what fears they have, finding about, you know, what makes them feel secure. All these different conversations, there actually can be this great emotional intimacy that actually grows because you're becoming more affectionate towards one another in this phileo love, right? But then, obviously, we do get get excited, and we start to get kind of add some of this physical side, which again, in some areas, when done appropriately, it's a good thing. It's a natural progression of a relationship as you have that. Now, the thing about these kind of tanks that you're going to be filling into in any relationship, there's only one that has a can't go any further without marriage, and that's you have this physical connection here, right? There is this red line right here. There is a point where you can only go so far in that physical side of your relationship before you have to step into the marriage relationship. Now, the problem that happens, right, when we get out of balance is maybe this spiritual and emotional side of things, they start out strong and they're great. But you know what? Things are getting really exciting and things are getting really fun. And this thing just keeps growing and it just outpaces it. And it keeps growing, gets to the point where you kind of get to this part right here. And you're going, in my physical side of my relationship, because of my convictions as a believer, I don't want to go any further than this. Like, I'm ready for marriage in this tank. But the problem is you've let this kind of rule your relationship. And so now you're a little bit stuck here because you don't have the emotional and spiritual intimacy that's prepped for marriage. You really should be, right, at this level equally, right? You could take this line all the way up, and there is a kind of a level where it's like, this is a perfect time to kind of to propose and to step into this marriage relationship. But you kind of get into this funk where you're like, okay, I'm stuck here. I don't want to go any further. And one of really three things happen, okay? The first thing that can happen, right, is the dam breaks, right? And this goes here. And then you kind of compromise some of your values. That's one of the things that can happen. Another thing that can happen is because you don't feel ready here and there's frustration here and there's anxiety here and all things, then you actually end up breaking up. and you actually got all the way to this point with someone and you weren't ready and you didn't grow in balance. And the third thing you do is you can put a halt on this and make a hard choice and double down on some of the boundaries and make a commitment to enforce this and really focus on growing in this side of things. And my suggestion to couples when I am talking to them and counseling them in this is that if you're going to get to this point, you kind of have to get to a place of a cease and desist. You have to let it go. You have to make a bond. You have to make a covenant with one another that we're not going to engage any further in any physical activity because we need to grow other areas and see if this relationship can actually stand and grow in these other areas. And that's hard. That's hard because you made the choice to get to this place this fast and your natural impulses, your eros impulses will want to go further. But this is where you pray to the Lord and you ask for the strength from the Spirit and you really lean into the strength of this couple, this other significant person and say, does this matter to us? This is really important to us. And you step into that. And so here's my suggestion, right? When you step into any relationship, have these conversations early in your relationship. Go over and talk about the different types of love and the ways that you want to grow. Put practices and things that intentionality into how you're going to grow each of these areas in a relationship. Because if you don't have intention, I guarantee you that this one will grow the fastest. And some of you guys know that all too well. But the good news is there's grace. The Lord wants to start afresh and give you strength for maybe the relationship that you're currently in or maybe your next relationship. So let's focus on that and let's pray to the Lord in those things. Now, I want to close by talking about really the action of love. And as we talked about the origin of love, we talked about love's variation, and we looked a little bit of how to grow and balance, and then we want to talk about the action of love. And we can find really what the action of love is in what we hear in 1 John 4:10, and it says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As I said earlier, right, agape love chooses as an act of self-sacrifice to serve the recipient. The example that we see from God, the example that we see in the life of Jesus is one of sacrifice. True sacrifice that puts others first, that actually steps out into humility and truly seeks to serve the other. When we can have that agape love that comes from God, and we can bring that into any relationship that we have, whether that's romantic or whether that's in a brotherly form or in a familiar form, like in a family, we need to bring that act of self-sacrifice into the relationship. We have to have that choice to make early on. And I'll tell you, it doesn't always come naturally. I'll be honest, you know. Just 2 days ago, like there was a moment, right, when I was preparing this message, I'm looking at some of these things, learning things, where, you know, I just wasn't feeling like loving my wife. She was making me frustrated. There was things that she was doing and the way that she was acting that was just irking me. And we're trying to kind of unpack from a vacation that we had. But it was one of those moments where I stopped and took a deep breath. And I was reminded of this verse in 1 John 4:10, that this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for his sins. The love that I can have for my wife and the reason that I know that we will be madly in love until the day that we die is because our love is not based on the emotion. It's grounded in something far deeper. It's grounded in something in the love of God that makes a choice and that he actually brings about that love. As we looked at that God allows us to love one another, that he is the center of our relationship. So if you want to love well in any romantic relationship, I'll tell you, learn how to love God first and learn how to accept God's love in your own life. Allow his grace to come and know the depth from which you have fallen and what you have been rescued from. And that's the beauty of God's love. And you can bring that into every relationship that you enter into. And I guarantee you that you will be an excellent and wonderful girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife, because that's the way that you're stepping into the relationship. So let me bless you guys with prayer. Pray for you guys' relationships moving forward. And let's close out with some worship. God, thank you that you chose us. There was nothing that we did to deserve this love. There's nothing that we did to earn it, God. It's a choice by you. It was the decisive act of love. And so, Lord Jesus, we just give you this time. We give you this time of worship as a response and thankfulness for what you have done. We just pray that you will be glorified in this time. And I pray blessing over the relationships that will be had in this room or the relationships that are happening now, God. I pray that you give them strength and balance by the power of your Holy Spirit. We seek you, Jesus, right now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.